The beautiful words of the psalmist. His one request has been, and still his prayer he raises, that he would dwell within God's house through all his days. And that's what we get to do this morning. Stand in the house of God and learn from him, about him, from his word. So we're going to be reading this morning from Mark chapter 4. And our text is verses 21 to 25. So Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. It's Mark 4, beginning in verse 21. And he was saying to them, that is, Jesus was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. So far, the reading of God's word for our hearts and lives this morning. It'll help you to keep your Bibles open to this passage as we consider it. Well, dear brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ, Gospel of Mark contains three parables, all of them here within chapter 4. Now the parables of Jesus were like missiles against the kingdom of darkness in men's hearts and in men's lives. Jesus' parables were used to destroy the self-confidence in men and in women, to overcome all opposition to their conversion to Jesus Christ. Jesus' parables confront people with a decision that they need to make in relation to who Jesus is, that then changes the way they live their lives, and that identify them as being either inside or outside the kingdom of God. Now last week we considered the parable of the seed and the soil. And that parable we saw last week was the key parable of Jesus Christ. It was the blueprint parable which demonstrated how all of Jesus' parables would work. It's the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. In that parable it showed us that not everyone who hears the gospel will be saved. Those who see Jesus Christ for who he truly is, and those who are committed to following him and hearing his word, well, to them, Jesus explains what his parables mean. They become very obvious. To those who are not close to Jesus Christ, for those who do not see him for who he is, they do not hear his word by faith in him. And thus, for them, the true meaning of Jesus and his preaching is hidden. So notice this morning, Jesus wants everyone to hear his word. Jesus wants everyone to hear his message. Jesus doesn't just want his identity to be a secret. And so he tells another parable to show us that truth about himself and the coming kingdom of God. And so the theme for this morning's sermon is, and it's in your bulletins, because Jesus reveals himself to us, we ought to hear his voice and reveal him to the world. We'll consider this theme under two headings. So firstly, see the light, and that's focused on verses 21 to 23. So see the light. And then secondly, soak up and shine the light, and that's focused on verses 24 to 25. So secondly, it was soak up and shine the light. So firstly, we need to see the light. Jesus says in verse 21, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not to be brought, put onto a lampstand? Brought to be put on a lampstand? And so in that question, Jesus is basically asking, why do you take a lamp into a house? To hide its light? Well, boys and girls, if the power goes out in your house in the middle of the night, do you turn your torch on just to cover up its light? To make the room dark again? No. No, you turn that torch on. You hold that torch out in front of you to be able to see where you're going or to see what you're doing, don't you? Now, the lamps that they had back in Jesus' day are a bit different from our torches. They were these round clay bowls which had oil in them and a wick that would come out of that oil. And so these oil lamps would give the best light when they were lifted up and they were placed in the open, in the middle of the room, and they could shine their light all around. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's using this parable, he's using this analogy to get people to sit up and to think about what he's saying. To bring to mind that his predominantly Jewish audience would have known well, the Old Testament, right? So he's trying to bring that to mind as he's speaking. In the Old Testament, the lamp was used in a number of ways. It was used as a metaphor for God. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 29, we see there that it says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illuminates my darkness." A lamp was also used to describe for us the Davidic Messiah as well. 2 Kings 8, verse 19 says, "However, the Lord did not want to destroy Judah for the sake of David, his servant, since he had promised to him to give him a lamp through his sons always." And the most famous Old Testament passage, I'm sure you all know it very well, Psalm 119, verse 105. It says there, David says there, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Very well known passage. And so this lamp imagery in the Old Testament points to God, points to his word, and it also points to the coming Messiah, the Savior of mankind from their sins. Now, I do need to point out that our NASB, unfortunately, doesn't have the best translation in relation to the significance of this lamp. So verse 21, if you look there with me, verse 21 says, "Our lamp." Now, the Greek word that the Greek uses, the definite article "the" to emphasize the lamp. So it's not a lamp, it's the lamp. It's not just any lamp, it's the lamp. And so we have to think about that because the language of Scripture really alerts us to the importance of this particular lamp that Jesus is talking about. Now, in connection to the lamp being brought, the Greek word that we have translated in our NASB is as being brought is more literally the word for come. Literally, Jesus is saying the lamp does not come to be put under a basket. Now, isn't that funny language? Lamp does not come to be put under a basket. I mean, ordinarily, a lamp doesn't just come along on its own into a house, does it? It's carried by someone, isn't it? It's very unusual language. So the coming is language that refers to the coming Messiah. This is no ordinary lamp. The imagery used here in this parable points to Jesus being the lamp. We see that beautifully laid out for us in John's Gospel, don't we? In John chapter 1, he very clearly reveals Jesus as being the light who has come to shine in the darkness. Later on in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says of himself, "I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." the lamp coming, the lamp being lifted up, placed on the lampstand, shedding its light all around, points to the person and work of Jesus Christ. This imagery sheds light for us on the person and work of Jesus Christ, bringing the kingdom of God into this world. The light that the Old Testament, the lamp, I should say, of the Old Testament that's been promised is seen in Him and will be declared to all the nations. Jesus Christ is the light by which people are enabled to see their way into the kingdom of God. That's the whole purpose for God sending His Son into this world. His Son, Jesus Christ, was sent to enlighten and to reveal. At this point in Jesus' earthly mission and ministry, however, the kingdom of God and Jesus' role in it remains somewhat hidden. Verse 22 goes on to say, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. For some they will not see nor understand the true meaning of Jesus Christ in His person and work." Remember what Jesus said back in verse 12 of the same chapter. To those outside of Jesus Christ, to those outside of the kingdom of God, while seeing they may not perceive, while hearing they do not understand, otherwise they might return and their sins would be forgiven. There is a divine purpose that only those who are chosen by God would find the truth concerning Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Yet even the concealment of the present hour contains the seeds of what will be revealed. Just think about that. If the beginnings of the kingdom of God entering the world look unfavorable and don't look very promising from a very human perspective, that serves God's purpose. Jesus Christ is a unique man with a very unique mission in this world, but He doesn't look unique. He doesn't look extraordinary. So Jesus Himself invites people to see who He is, to discover the kingdom, and yet they can only do this by being in fellowship with Him. Nothing is hidden to remain hidden forever. Jesus is hidden in order to be fully revealed at the appointed time. Now the kingdom of God and Jesus' parables that witness it, to it are like a piece of embroidery. On one side you have a mass and tangle of knots with threads hanging out, nothing much to look at, right? But if you flip it over, at that, still at the same time, on the other side, that pattern is a finished pattern. It's beautiful. And this too really is a figure of Jesus Christ. To those outside of Him, He's some homespun rabbi, a teacher without any credentials of a rabbinic school. He's a Galilean upstart who's not conforming to the religious norm and expectations. He's a rebel. Well, brothers and sisters, the question then is, well, how can you detect in the very ordinary threads of such a life the emerging pattern of the kingdom of God? So how can you see Jesus for who He is in that, and thus the kingdom of God? Well, verse 23 commands us to hear and listen to Jesus' word because it's vitally important. Entry into the kingdom of God, the way that Jesus Christ reigns in your heart and life, only comes through hearing God's word. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:13, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Hearing God's word preached is the primary means of grace that God has given to us. And through the word preached, the Holy Spirit enables you to recognize Jesus Christ for who he is. We see later on, at the end of Jesus' ministry in Matthew 28, Jesus himself gives his disciples, gives the church the Great Commission. They are to continue that work of preaching and teaching, to take his word to all the nations of the world. And this is true of Jesus' disciples today too. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, who is the light of God, we too are to be like Christ, shining the light of the gospel before all people. We're not to hide the word of God under a basket, but we are to let the light of Jesus Christ shine before all men, so that those with ears to hear might hear. Well, this brings us to our second point this morning. Having seen and heard the light, soak up and shine the light. It's not enough to just have heard and seen Jesus Christ and his word. As Jesus said, there are those who hear the word. Remember those three types of soil where the seed does not grow. But even though they hear the word, they don't understand it, nor do they believe it. Jesus says in verse 24, take care what you listen to. Take care what you listen to. And the Greek word for take care is from the same root word the word to see. In other words, carefully see what you hear. Carefully consider what Jesus is saying to you. Pay attention. When we visited as a family one of the beaches up in Auckland, I'm sure you've probably seen it here on the beaches too. There was a guy out on the beach with this metal detector. I'm not sure if you've heard a metal detector before, but you can hear a humming sound as it's passing over the ground. Now, if you want to find metal, you need to listen to that metal detector very closely to hear a slight change in sound when it goes over metal. You can hear the sound of the metal detector, and yet you can also not truly hear the sound of the metal detector in order to find anything of value. Similarly, Jesus is saying you need to carefully listen to what the Word of God is saying if you want to hear the Word of truth, and in hearing it, truly believe it. This is vitally important, brothers and sisters, because the amount of attention that you give to God's Word will be the measure of the profit that you receive from it. Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Now that's an old Jewish proverb that occurs in a variety of forms. One goes like this: in the pot in which you cook for others, you will have your meal cooked. Now, in other words, the idea of that saying is, if you take a pot of soup to your neighbor, they will use that same pot to make you a soup of the same size. There's a measure to show that you are fairly and you are equally serving and loving one another. Now, that's interesting, but I want us to remember this morning what Mark's gospel is about. Mark's gospel is primarily concerned with whether or not you and I recognize Jesus Christ for who he is in his person and word. And in these parables of Jesus that Mark is then relaying to us, he is concerned with whether or not we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and that in recognizing who Jesus is in these parables, he's concerned with how you and I respond to him. So we need to understand what Mark is trying to show us in this teaching of Jesus about the measure that we use. Now the basket that's mentioned back in verse 21 is actually the Greek word for a measuring bowl. So you can see that the language here used here in verses 24 and 25 is tied to verses 21 to 23. And so you are to see the light of Jesus Christ. You're not to hide it. You're not to conceal it. When Jesus Christ has revealed it to you, that is the truth of his word to you. And then Jesus tells us that by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And so this measure that Jesus is referring to is not a measure whereby you judge whether or not you and your neighbor are equally loving one another. That's not the point of Jesus saying this in his parable. No, this measure that Jesus is talking about here in this parable is used by you to determine whether or not you are in the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about you measuring yourself against God's word. That is, considering yourself, judging yourself according to it. After carefully hearing the word, seeing the light, Jesus calls you to carefully consider God's word, to bask in the light of God's word revealed to you in Jesus Christ. Soak it up. As you consider it, allow it to wash over you, to cleanse you, to change you from the inside out. Brothers and sisters, as you do that, you cannot help but grow. And as you grow in your understanding of God's word, you'll reflect the light of Christ to others around about you. The principle that Jesus is giving here is of reaping what you sow. Getting a harvest equal to the work that you've put into it. Because the effort that you put into studying God's word, you'll reap an equal measure of the rewards of that. And not only that, but you'll get far more than you deserve from God's word. In verse 25, Jesus adds this truth. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even that what he has will be taken away from him. Brothers and sisters, this shows us that there are only two possible outcomes to hearing Jesus' word. When it comes to Jesus Christ, it's all or nothing. Nothing in between. You either understand the mystery concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, or you don't. If you don't recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, as being your Savior from your sins, as being the Lord over your heart and over your life, even the Word of God that you have heard will not benefit you. You'll lose any possible benefit that you could have gained from hearing it. But if you do recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, the word that you've heard and have carefully considered, even more will be added to you. As you hear and consider and understand Jesus' words, as you weigh them, you'll find that the demands of Jesus Christ over your heart and life are disproportionately in your favor. Now, brothers and sisters, I want us to think about this. You and I don't fully understand all the mysteries concerning Jesus Christ, do we? There are things we don't fully understand about God's word. All of our efforts in this life and considering and understanding God's word about a mere beginning, a scratching of the surface. And yet even this small beginning that we have in understanding and in recognizing who Jesus Christ is and the truths contained in God's word means we will receive far more than we could ever earn or deserve. That's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? We are forgiven far more than we could ever pay. Verbs in this text used for our words, it will be measured to you and it will be added to you, verbs in the passive voice, meaning we're not doing them, someone else is doing them. So theologians call them divine passives, meaning God is the one who will measure it out and He is the one who will add it to you. Just think about that this morning, as sinners deserving God's judgment. We could never earn our way into heaven by seeing Jesus Christ for ourselves or by reading God's word enough. No, if our salvation depended on us in any way, we would fall so far short of ever measuring up to God's holy standard. And so it's only by God's grace, it's only in hearing God's word and seeing Jesus Christ for who He is, that we're given entrance into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ, His Son, and His work on the cross, at the fullness of time, when Jesus was revealed, He was unveiled to the world as the Savior of mankind, receiving our penalty that we could never pay. God pouring out His wrath on Jesus Christ so that your and my sins could be forgiven. The blessing of eternal life in Jesus Christ then is poured out upon you and me due to God's marvelous grace alone. When you view yourself against God's holy word in the light of Jesus Christ, we see what we have but a little faith. We'll consider next time that even the small faith in Jesus Christ is enough. Because by faith in Jesus Christ, God will give you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. And so I have to ask you again this morning, brothers and sisters, do you see Jesus Christ for who He is? Do you see Him as the light of the world? Do you see Him as the King who rules over your heart and over your life? Or does He mean nothing to you? Key to recognizing Jesus Christ and becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God is through diligent use of the means of grace. And that is, are you reading? Are you meditating upon and hearing the preaching of God's word? And then are you seeking to live faithfully according to the light and the knowledge of God's word that you've been given? So I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, continue to grow in your knowledge of the grace of God and Jesus Christ. And rely on Him each day for His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is that we have the opportunity to hear Your word, to receive the proclamation of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that You would give us an appreciation and love for Your word and for Your Son. May we acknowledge how necessary it is for us to hear Your word, to believe it and to seek to strive to live by it and share it with others. May we shine the light of the gospel to the world. Please give us all that we stand in need of for Your work, O Lord. Please bless us now as we fellowship, dear Lord, and we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.